sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show coming up. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Bucknell tonight, Fordham, 6:30, Mathewson Stadium. Doug Bergson with the call on Eagle 107 this evening, beginning at 6. Tickets available tonight for this big showdown between Bucknell and Fordham, which is also on CBS Sportsnet this evening. And high school football coming up tonight. Shikellamy, Sealands Grove this evening. Sealands Grove broadcast on 94KX. And also the Shikellamy broadcast tonight on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the award-winning broadcast of Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort. 7 o'clock the kickoff tonight, 6:30 the airtime. Other half of the bracket tonight at Shamokin at Jersey Shore this evening. Lewisburg will play Montoursville tomorrow night at 7:30. Tomorrow night, 7:30. You'll hear that on the Valley 100.9 at 7:30 tomorrow evening. All right. This is, of course, Friday. And if it's Friday, that means going to Brewer's Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You need to stock up for the weekend. I don't care if you're tailgating tonight or if you decide to go into the cave and watch every game for the weekend. You need to be fully and completely stocked. That means you need to go to Brewer's Outlet this evening. Beer, oh my goodness. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection in the area without question. On top of that, you have soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day. The pickle bar is second to none. You know I love those barrel pickles. It's all at our great friends, Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They are not called the beverage supermarket for nothing. They are the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has had vehicle exchange day today. I'll tell you more about that Lincoln that he drove this past week a little bit later that you can ask about and buy at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kier, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Penn State Wrestling. Zane Rutherford, Nico Megalutis, they're both going to redshirt this year for Penn State. They will open up against Lehigh Sunday. Sold out rec hall, standing room only. Again, this will be Sunday, rec hall against Lehigh. Jeff Byers is the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. It's always great to have Jeff on the show. Jeff, last year and in the last couple of years, you cannot underestimate the number of bonus points that were racked up by David Taylor and Ed Ruth. They were bonus points that were difference makers in winning national championships. Where might the bonus points come from this year?
No question. They were huge, obviously, the whole way through for Penn State. And really, without them, Penn State probably is talking about one or two titles instead of four here over the last 4 years. And it's a good question. I don't know that there's a definitive answer right now. I think there's a combination of things that Penn State's hoping for or looking to happen. One is Morgan McIntosh. Cale Sanderson will tell you, and Morgan will tell you, that they feel he should be dominating that weight class. He should be a guy that is going out and scoring bonus points a lot more often than not. Maybe not necessarily in a David Taylor or Ed Ruth clip, but certainly at a pretty good rate. Matt Brown is certainly a guy, I don't know that he's going to get the pin totals that Taylor or Ruth would bring to you, but he's certainly a guy that can pile up the major decisions this season, and they are really looking to him to be a vocal leader as well as the leader he's always been on and off the mat as far as being the guy that you can look to as an example of how to conduct yourself. And outside of that, you know, Steve, I don't know that there's a lot of places that you say, boy, we're going to have a lot of bonus points there. I think Jimmy Gorobon is capable of scoring a lot of bonus points, and they're really happy with what he has done this offseason. I think fans are going to be pleasantly surprised by the transformation of Jimmy Gorobon. He's just kind of grown into a true college wrestler size now at 133. He's put on some weight, has lost a little bit of fat, and really just has a great mentality. He has done everything in terms of training in the offseason to get himself ready. And I think, you know, he's a guy that could get some bonus points for you. Jordan Conaway certainly could get some bonus points for you at 125. And listen, they're going to need a kid or two to surprise. A Cody Law at 157 or a Matt McCutcheon at 184. to not only win, but to be a guy that can rack up some bonus points against inferior competition.
And that's what they're looking for at this particular stage. Now the question is, where can you come up with – we talk about where the strength of the team was, where you knew once you get to that section of the dual meet, Penn State was pretty much expected to roll. Where can they find that role in this lineup? And then I'm going to ask you about Garrett Hammond.
Yeah, I still think the upper weights are a pretty good source of strength for Penn State. Now, they're really going to need one of the heavyweights to step forward here. John Gingrich will get the start here against Lehigh on Sunday. And either he or Jimmy Lawson needs to, for this team to have success and have a real shot at winning the national title or a Big Ten title at the end of the season, they're going to have to get significant points out of heavyweight, meaning into the finals of the Big Ten and probably top three or four at nationals. And both those guys are capable of it, but you know, they just have not done it yet. They just have not been able to get the points in the postseason. And again, it has been, with the team they've had, not critical the last few years. It is absolutely critical this year. But if the heavyweights come through, again, you have Matt Brown. I think Matt McCutchen is going to be a rising star. I think right. He's a guy that's going to get better and better. And then McIntosh. It's not quite the murderer's row that Penn State has had the last few years, but I think those four weight classes at the end of the lineup gives Penn State a pretty formidable group.
As David Taylor was out wowing America with how he wrestled last year, wrestling unattached very quietly last year was Garrett Hammond, and he racked up 29 wins, and he had 9 pins and 7 tech falls at 16 of his 29 wins. He doesn't have to be David Taylor. He just has to be the first Garrett Hammond. What do you expect from him?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing they want to see from Garrett is consistency with his effort. He will score a ton of points against guys that he knows are inferior to him. The real challenge for him this year, and he's going to do that regardless, and they feel very confident, I feel very confident about that part of it. What the question is okay, now you're in a match where you're not going to dominate. You're up against a kid that's ranked higher than you, that has done more to this point at the collegiate level. How do you respond? Are you willing to still go after it, get the points when they're available there, and find a way to win those gritty matches? And, you know, that's really, I think, the question. That's something that Garrett obviously knows they need him to do and that he's working on. But he's a guy that's going to be exciting for fans to watch. There's no question about that. But, again, for this team to have success, he's going to have to win the gritty matches, the tough matches against those top 8, top 12 kids in the country. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on that as to where he stacks up against those guys. But he is going to be fun to watch. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, Penn State's, because of what they've done and how they have thoroughly dominated the sport from a performance and entertainment point of view, I mean, they've done both. They have dominated the sport from a performance, which is obvious, but also they've dominated from an entertainment point of view. It also means that they wear a target on the T-shirt every time they walk in the building. How interested are you to watch how the younger wrestlers react to the fact that, you know, that this is the first time through for them in a lot of ways, but they're also with a team with a target?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they respond. And, you know, it's really interesting. For as much success as Penn State has had, Cale Sanderson will tell you, and he is heartfelt when he tells it, that he would much rather see a kid go out and give an effort, put it on the line, risk some big moves, some big shots, and come up short than he would watch one of his kids win a 1-0 battle where they fight off every shot and do just enough to win. The attitude is that they want you to be going for it, and they're genuine when they tell you that they would rather watch you lose going for it than win being completely conservative and not opening up. I've seen it happen. They have chewed out guys for winning 2-1 matches when they know what they're capable of, when the coaches know what they're capable of. So what they're telling these young kids is don't get caught up on the wins and losses in the early part of the season. That's That's not where your national titles are going to be won. That's not where your glory is going to be gained in the sport. But if you are going to have the type of success that that most of these kids are wanting, it is going to be from being the aggressive, offensive-oriented wrestler. And, yep, you may take some lumps. You may get caught here or there in the early going as you kind of learn, okay, this is the position and how I got to fight out of that. But I'm really curious to see how much some of these young kids take it to heart. I think in the practice room they are showing that they understand that message and they're willing to do it. But it is different doing it in the wrestling room and then doing it out there in front of 6,200 fans at Rec Hall.
Even if you have the same 10 starters as the year before, every team takes on its own personality. Even with the same 10 back, you know, guys get older, get more vocal, get more comfortable, whatever it happens to be. How does this team have a personality, or is this something I need to ask you in 6 weeks?
You know, I today for sure is probably asking 6 weeks, but what I think you're going to see and what has been preached and what I'm seeing from the kids in the room is that this is going to be a team of hustle. It may not be as skilled a team as what Penn State has skilled in the last few years. By the end of the year, then again, it might. But I think that this is a team that wants to make its reputation on, you know what, in the third quarter, we are never the guys backing off the edge of the mat. When there's an injury timeout, we are always the guy, even if we're the guy injured. We're the guy sitting in the, standing in the middle of the mat ready to go when the referee is bringing the wrestlers back. It is really a mindset right now that I think the coaches are instilling in the wrestlers, and I think the wrestlers have bought into it. And again, you don't know for sure until you get to that outside competition. But I think the attitude, and really Matt Brown is the leader of this year's team, and I think they are taking on his persona, which is just hard-nosed, tough, and a guy that does go for it. And, you know, sometimes maybe a little too much to his detriment. He's gotten caught in some situations because maybe he was over-aggressive. But, again, I think that's what this team wants, and I think ultimately it's what it's going to need to have success at the end of the season, is be very aggressive and be a team that is just not going to be outworked for a second in any of the seven-minute bouts.
This would not be a Penn State conversation about wrestling unless there's an Alton question. So let's get to Dylan Alton. Obviously, he does not begin the season at 157. What update do you have on where he is right now?
Yeah, I think right now it is as much a mental game for him coming back from the injuries. And I think sometimes folks don't appreciate just how difficult coming back from not just an injury, but in this case, a series of injuries can be. And it's not just the physical component. It's obviously a big part of it, and you have to get yourself healthy and rehabbed and ready to go. But there is the mental part. Do I trust that both of my shoulders, which have had surgeries now in the last 2 years, that they are going to hold up, that I can withstand the throws that I'm used to making and not put myself in a precarious position? And I think the coaches are wanting to be cautious with him. He's obviously wanting to be a little cautious here at the start of the season because, you know, his dream and his goal is still to win a national title before this thing is said and done. It's a step-by-step process, and I don't think it's coming together as quickly as he would like or as the coaches would like and the fans and everything else. But I really think he is, if he is patient with it and just kind of trusts the medical staff and the coaches, I really think at the end of the day he's going to come through this thing okay. But it's, you know, he's still in the process here of getting back to where he needs to be physically and mentally.
Sunday sold out Rec Hall. Jeff, as always, it is great to talk to you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. Certainly looking forward to it. And I have, a lot of ways, I think this is going to be a very fun season for the fans. There are a lot of young kids, and I think it's just going to be fun to watch them grow as the season moves along.
Agreed. Very much so. Jeff, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Give you a preview as to what's going on with the Nittany Lions heading into the opener on Sunday with Lehigh and what's going to be a very interesting season for the four-time defending national champions. But again, Taylor and Ruth, you're saying, well, that's two spots. They happen to be two spots in that lineup that racked up the bonus points that made a difference in championships. That's the difference. They, you know, the bonus point difference makers. As Jeff said, those bonus points may have been the difference in Penn State winning one or two national titles as opposed to winning four in a row. Well, now you have to find those points somewhere. But you know what? It'll be a fun year in the growth and maturation of this Penn State wrestling team. And they have a huge, huge home mat advantage because the crowd in Rec Hall, I mean, anything happens and they just jump and pounce as a crowd all over it. And the excitement level in there is tremendous. It's the best thing to happen to wrestling in a long time. You know, the people at Iowa will tell you, oh, no, you know, the Gable years. The Gable years were great, but there's something about the way Penn State wrestles, that go-for-it style, where they have been the gold standard not only in performance but also in the gold standard in style that has made the sport more exciting. And they'll start with Lehigh Sunday in Rec Hall. Of course, we're just a week away from the start of basketball season. The Nittany Lions will take on Morgan State a week from tonight. At the Jordan Center, and of course I'll have the call with Dick Girardi. We'll do that. And in fact, next week it will be a basketball Friday, football Saturday, basketball Sunday weekend for me, which means it's one of the more fun weekends of the year for me. You know how much I love that. I eat that stuff up. And we will talk a little bit more about that next week. Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football, is going to join us in the next half hour. Indiana will take on Penn State tomorrow, Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, with a noon kickoff. You'll hear it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show starting at 10:30. And, of course, Bucknell football tonight, Fordham at Mathewson Stadium at 6:30 tonight. Eagle 107 has that game for you with Doug Birdsong beginning at 6 this evening. Nation will get a chance to see it on CBS Sportsnet, by the way. So it's a big matchup for Bucknell against nationally ranked Fordham this evening. Bucknell 7-1 trying to get to that eighth win. Big, big game tonight. Looking forward to that. Thanks, by the way, to Joe Susan, who joined us on the show Monday to talk about his football team after their dramatic win last week where they came from behind, tied the game, and then won it in overtime to beat Lafayette 27-24. Bloomsburg plays tomorrow. They play John Allen's team, Lock Haven, tomorrow. Bloomsburg undefeated, having a great year. Looking forward to what the Huskies have done this year. So there's a lot of great football going on in our area. And, of course, Penn State and Indiana coming up tomorrow. The college football playoff, that's the way they envisioned it, I think, is weekends like this. TCU has a big game tomorrow. Oregon has a big game tomorrow. Michigan State, Ohio State's a big game tomorrow. Alabama has a big game. We're at the point now where you're jockeying to get into that Final Four spot, where essentially these are like playoff games. But the one thing I would like to see in college football, I think the Power Five conferences, as part of their autonomy, is they need to waive the 12-school rule when it comes to the ability to have a conference championship game. I know the Big 12 in talking points will go over and over about, well, look, we have a true conference champion. We play all the other nine schools. While true on paper, you are going to get lost in the wash when you're not one of the championship games being played on December 6th. That is what's going to happen. You will get lost in the wash. You will be perceived as a group that did not take the next step and have some risk put on the table. And if the Big 12 is not going to be willing to expand from 10 to 12 schools, and you don't just do it arbitrarily to do it. You have to have the right fit that works for you. And in a lot of ways, and not just, you know, mostly obviously in football, these expansions are all about football. Basketball is rarely talked about, but it certainly has a domino effect on basketball. We know that, plus all the other sports. But I think they need to waive that rule. That way the Big 12 has a championship game, because to me that is the extra layer of playoff. That is the quarterfinal round of playoff that I think helps determine the final four teams. And the Big 12 needs to go through that layer, in my opinion. And while determining, yes, a true conference champion in the regular season because they play the other nine schools, you miss out on that extra layer, that extra risk, that extra roll of the dice. Bottom of the hour coming up. Don Fisher, play-by-play voice of Indiana, coming up next half hour. We're brought to you today by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with more from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key West 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the week. Oh, stop applauding. Come on. Give the show a break. Big weekend coming up. Looking forward to it very much. And as always on Friday, we are brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, you need to stock up for the weekend. I don't care if you're tailgating over at Matheson or you happen to be in the man cave all weekend, whatever it happens to be. And some get-togethers as well, all at Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, yeah. What a great selection. And soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day. Fresh, hot roasted peanuts every day. And the pickle bar, second to none. Love the barrel pickles, but there's a wide range of pickles at the pickle bar. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am currently safely ensconced in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin had to turn in the Lincoln today. Had to turn it in. But you could ask them about the Lincoln that he drove this week and buy it at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big weekend. Bloomsburg, of course, undefeated, playing at Lock Haven. That's coming up tomorrow. Tonight, you'll have Bucknell at home. Here we are, just 2 hours away from kickoff, a little bit less than that now, as Bucknell takes on Fordham at 6:30 at Matheson. As you drive into the game tonight, you're to the pregame with Doug Bergsong beginning at 6 o'clock on Eagle 107 this evening. Also, coming up, high school football tonight, Shikellamy playoff game, Selins Grove. 94KX will have the Selins Grove broadcast. Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hart right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 7 o'clock the kickoff tonight. 6:30 will be the airtime. Lewisburg will be in action tomorrow night. We'll be taking on Montoursville tomorrow night. That's at Matheson tomorrow night. So Lewisburg, Montoursville, Matheson tomorrow night at 7:30. You'll hear that on the Valley 100.9. And, of course, Penn State football tomorrow at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, Nittany Lions and Indiana. And very pleased to bring in a great friend for more than 40 years now, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football and men's basketball, Don Fisher. Don, great to have you with us. And Tevin Coleman was terrific against Penn State last year. A big reason why they won that game last year. He's the nation's leading rusher. Where is he better right now, Don, than he was even a year ago?
Well, honestly, I just think the experience level that he's at this point as a junior in college. As a freshman, he was a little tentative as a runner at times, wasn't quite as strong as he needed to be. As a sophomore, he definitely made huge strides in those areas. And this year, it's all come to fruition, at least from the strength standpoint, the speed standpoint, and now the understanding of how to play the position, you know, the way he needs to play it. And you know, he's really played well this season. He's not getting a lot of help here in recent ball games because the passing game has gone away since we've had quarterback issues. Jeez. And, you know, in the sense of everybody lining up and filling the box with 8-9 guys and taking away the running game, the yards have been much more difficult to come by. And that said, he's still got 100 yards against Michigan last week, 108. His longest run was 17. He carried the most he's carried all year long, 27 times. But he made the most of his efforts, and he is a big play threat every time he touches the football.
I mean, he's a target, too. I mean, the way it is now, he might as well, instead of wearing six, he might as well wear a target on his chest, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, and like I said, that's been a big issue since Nate Sudfeld got hurt and has gone down for the season. Now everybody just, you know, loads the box and says, we don't think he can beat us. And he still does it on occasion, but it's a much tougher road to hoe at this point.
How does Kevin Wilson like to use D'Angelo Roberts now in order to help in the end make Coleman more effective?
Well, in the sense, basically, I mean, D'Angelo is a really good second option. He's not the speed guy that Tevin is, but he's a very tough kid. And he's a hard runner. He will find a hole. He's one of those guys that puts his nose, you know, right into a guy's shoulder pads and tries to knock you down. He's not the speed guy, as I said, but he has some moves and he's got some quickness to him. So once he gets an opportunity, you know, he's a good second option. And he has really done a great job. He's a senior, of course, so he's been around a long time. He's had plenty of opportunities to play, so he's got the experience, but he's a different kind of runner than Tevin. He's more the grinded-out type runner, running back than Tevin is.
The quarterback situation, you and I had talked earlier, and I said I thought a year ago Indiana had the deepest, maybe best quarterback situation in the Big Ten in terms of depth between Nate, whom you just referenced, Trey Roberson, and Cam Kaufman. Well, we know Kaufman leaves. We know Roberson leaves. We know Nate gets hurt. Covington gets hurt. Okay, so now it's Xander Diamant. Okay.
Well, Xander's a kid that you know came from California. He's undersized at this point. He is about 6'1", maybe 6'5", whatever the case may be. But they list him at 175, and I flat guarantee you he doesn't weigh 175 pounds. In fact, I would argue that he's closer to 165 and maybe under that. He's just not very big, and no one anticipated that he would have to play this season. But again, they were holding their breath after Trey Roberson left this summer because there wasn't anybody else there. Chris Covington came in after being a quarterback in high school, listed as a linebacker.
Right.
And as soon as he got on campus and he was healthy in the fall, he started working at the quarterback position because obviously Kevin Wilson said, you know, we're kind of hurting there. And actually this kid's got a great arm and he's got the size and the body to work at quarterback as a running, throwing quarterback. And so he brought some of those same abilities that Trey Roberson had, obviously not the experience. But both Sudfeld and Covington go down in the Iowa ball game, and they're done for the season. And now you bring in a kid that you had planned to redshirt the entire season. And, man, he has really struggled in the passing game and with the speed of the game at this point because you can't simulate that in practice. And if you're the third guy taking reps, you know doggone well he's getting not nearly enough of those during the practice time if you're going to redshirt him. So, you know, he was thrown into a situation that's really unfair to him, and yet at the same time, this team has to have somebody out there that can at least manage the game. Now, he's done a fairly effective job of that, but he has been really struggling with the throwing aspect of it. I think that they've got to get him rolled out, and I'm sure that that's part of the plan this week, hopefully that they're going to roll him out more to throw the football, because he has really struggled to see down the field. He can't find receivers over the big offensive line, and part of that is due to the fact that because he's in this new position and everything's happening so fast, as you know, when somebody's starting to run right at you 5 feet away, you put the eyes down and you take off. So at any rate, Xander's had his issues in the first two games as Indiana's quarterback, but he's done a nice job of running the game from a management standpoint. He just needs to get that throwing aspect fixed. And Indiana's got 35 yards in two ball games passing the football. That'll tell you how difficult it's been for him.
Well, you would figure that with a guy like Shane Wynn, whom I have great respect for, and Coleman, play action pass game should be really, really good. That should tell us a lot about the speed of the game, shouldn't it?
Well, it should. And right now the problem has been that Shane Wynn, on top of the passing issues that Xander's had, Shane Wynn's been the only really effective wide receiver for this football team this year. It's just not the same group. Cody Latimer, of course, left as a junior, went to the NFL, and, of course, Kofi Hughes graduated. Those two guys, along with tight end Ted Bolzer, were three of the Indiana real key receivers a year ago. All three are gone, and they have not been able to replace those guys with the experience or the abilities, at least to this point. And so outside of Shane Wynn, the other guys have just been guys, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And at this juncture, that's also hurt the passing game. So, and everybody keys on Shane because they know he's the primary target for whoever the quarterback would be. So it's been a real struggle offensively. It's been the first time that we've seen a Kevin Wilson team have these kinds of offensive problems. And at this juncture, without Sudfeld there, it has really become a major problem.
But if there's any benefit, Buck gets to talk a little bit more now because instead of 21.1 seconds per play, it's about 34, 35, right?
Yeah. Buck Sewer is definitely advantageous at this point and being able to do a lot more color commentary than he used to because of the tempo of the game has slowed down pretty dramatically.
I understand that under this new offense, Buck wants to be paid by the word.
Yeah, trust me, he doesn't anymore. Not with the tempo of the game.
Yeah.
At this juncture, his words have been a lot less in the last couple of years than they had had before that.
The offensive line, Tevin gets obviously his justified credit. Has that group received enough credit from around the conference for what they've done?
Well, I think that they have to some degree. It's still a line that does not – it's not a bulldozer type line. It's a line that finesses. They've got solid players there. They've got a lot of starts over the last couple of years because of injuries to a lot of different guys, and a lot of different guys have had playing time. So they're a veteran group. There's no question about that. They've got like eight or nine guys that have started games in the last 2 years. They haven't had the injury issues that they had a year ago, and of course, they gave those other guys opportunities, but they've been able to rotate a lot of guys in there. But I would still argue that it's still not a Wisconsin-type offensive line in the sense that they're not going to bulldoze you out of there and do it for a full ball game. They still do a lot of finessing with their blocking techniques and those kinds of things to take care of the quarterback, and that's the one good thing. The quarterback hasn't suffered all that much with sacks and those kinds of things because that offensive line has been pretty doggone good.
Richardson and Simmons, how good have they been for Indiana off the edge and TJ in the middle?
Well, the linebacking core has become the strength of this football team. There is very little question that the 3-4 alignment, if that's what you want to call it, although I still argue that it's a five-man front.
Right, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because to me, it's more like still the old 5-2. It's just got a new tweak in the naming of it, but the 3-4 alignment has been a factor, and it's helped. Brian Knorr, the new defensive coordinator, has done a really good job with that. Bobby Richardson is solid. He's had a couple of ball games in which he has been a major factor, and then other ball games he just doesn't show up as much. But I would say that the defensive line at this point is probably one of the most improved about this ball club. They do a great job of handling most of the running situations that they deal with. They still are very questionable, in my opinion, at cornerback and at defensive back because they still allow way too many passing yards in a game. And that doesn't spell good news when you're facing Christian Hackenberg. But my point would be, this is a better defense than it's been for Indiana. It's not superstar status. It's not even great status. It's okay. But they still give up too many big plays. The passing games of other teams still affect them pretty dramatically in my mind, and it's one of the reasons that Indiana has lost a couple of ball games that they probably should have won.
Is Antonio Allen, though, a good enough safety in your opinion?
I do think he is. In my humble opinion, I honestly would put Antonio Allen at one of those linebacking spots, maybe right. An outside linebacker, because I think his hitting ability and his ability to get inside and make a play would be really, really advantageous. But right now they feel like the strength of this football team is in a lot of those areas, and they're going to utilize him at that safety position where he can help both the run and the pass.
It seemed like Kevin Wilson had really started to build some momentum with the fans. Has there been understanding among the fans in Indiana because of the situation where you lose a guy, an NFL caliber quarterback in Nate Sudfeld, or has the reaction been, well, here we go again?
I think it's a combination, Steve. You know, at Indiana, we've had so many disappointments with teams over the years, not being able to get to a bowl game. We've been to one bowl game since 1994,
right?
And that was in 2007. And without question, Kevin came in here, has changed the culture to some degree. Obviously, we're a tougher football team than we've been in recent years. We still aren't good enough on the defensive side. That's the area that he really tried to improve this season. But then the offensive side fell off because of obviously the wide receiving core being debilitated because of graduation and an NFL selection by the player, Cody Latimer. We just haven't been as good offensively this year as we anticipated. So I think a lot of people have taken that approach of, well, here we go again, because we started out, as you know, up and down. We won one, lost one, won one, lost one, won one, lost one. And now, of course, we're in a 3-game losing streak. So I'm sure a lot of people are upset by that. Most of us thought that this could be a turnaround year if they could keep the quarterback healthy, and obviously that didn't happen. So it hasn't happened in that regard, but I think most people understand when you lose your top two quarterbacks plus the transfer of the other top two, you are debilitated or you're depleted. And without question, that's been the case here the last couple of weeks. And I think most people understand that. They're not happy about it, but I think they understand it.
Yeah, one final question. The Missouri thing. What happened on that particular day? Because you had all the tools at the disposal. What happened on that particular day that tells you that this is different than it was 10 years ago?
Well, Indiana was coming off of a loss to Bowling Green, which, you know, nobody thought Indiana would lose to Bowling Green this year because last year they pounded Bowling Green when they were a team that won the MAC championship. And Bowling Green came in with had a new coach, a team that wasn't as good as the one the year before, and Indiana played them at Bowling Green, Ohio. If you've ever been to their stadium,
I have.
You know that it looks more like a luxurious high school stadium than it does a college stadium. You had a bad feeling that day that these guys are going to look at this place and go, where are we going? We're out in the middle of a cornfield, for heaven's sakes, and we're playing football in this place. And I'm not putting down Bowling Green. It's just the fact that their facilities don't measure up to most college standards.
Right.
So at any rate, they get beat. Well, they came back the next week, and I want to say that they played with their hair on fire. And they just had a different demeanor about them, like they were embarrassed about the loss. And they went out there and went to Missouri and played tremendous on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, hung around in the ball game, never let Missouri get take off on them, and then ended up finally coming up with a victory. I thought it was the turning point maybe for the program.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that, as we've seen, have seen since later situations have occurred, that's not the case. But this team hasn't, for some reason, they haven't lived with success very well, Steve, and that's part of having not won on a consistent basis.
That is Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football. That's when I've talked many times about the other people in this conference that you just develop great friendships. I mean, Don has done Indiana basketball now for 42 seasons. And believe it or not, at 33 seasons, I'd be three now. I was two before, but with Johnny Holiday, and I think Johnny's in his 36th year. So I would be third right now in terms of number of seasons and one ahead of Larry Clisby of Purdue basketball. But the point being is that all 22, now 23 seasons of basketball, it's always been Don Fisher that I've dealt with. And Don is just like all the other guys. Paul, I don't care who it is, Matt LePay, Paul Keels, Gary Dolphin. You know, I can go through the entire list of guys that I just think are just great guys and first-class broadcasters. You listen to SiriusXM, a Big Ten football, basketball broadcast just sounds great because of these guys. And Don's just absolutely one of the best and incredible to deal with. Hope you enjoyed the week. Hope you enjoyed the show. The podcast at Steve Jones Show is also available because in that opening half hour, Icky Woods said he was going to go and get Kevin Herr some cold cuts. He did in the opening half hour. And our thanks to Greg Pickle, Fight On State, Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, and Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football. Today's show has been brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, Bucknell and Fordham tonight, 90 minutes from now at Matthewson, Shikellamy, and Sealands Grove tonight at 7. You'll hear it on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Kevin and the Coach Dick Court beginning at 6:30. Thanks for joining us. News top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.